Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Rebecca Dixon, a policy analyst with the National Employment Law Project. Her work includes research, analysis, and advocacy in support of state and federal unemployment insurance reform. And she previously worked as a policy analyst for the Mississippi Economic Policy Center. She is the author of the National Employment Law Project's new report titled State Unemployment Systems in State of Disrepair. Welcome to Background Briefing, Rebecca Dixon.
Hello, Ian. Thank you for having me on.
And Rebecca, it just seems a cruel and unusual punishment here that after 47 million Americans receiving food stamps, and these include a lot of children, and the poorest among us, the least among us, as the Bible says, have taken this hit last Friday, they're getting less money, and their budget's already overstretched. And by the end of the month, most families run out of food stamps. But the Congress doesn't seem to care. They've cut food stamps. And now I understand, according to your new report, that 1.3 million Americans currently receiving long-term unemployment insurance will abruptly lose their federal benefits sometime after Christmas.
You're right. So we did an analysis and we looked at the folks who are on benefits right now, and it looks like that 1.3 million will be cut off abruptly at the end of the year, so there won't be a phase out like there have been in past years. So right around the holidays, they'll lose these vital benefits that they need to keep their utilities on and this pay rent while they look for work. And we also know that by early 2014, more than 2 million people will have lost their benefits. So it's just really a shocking thing with unemployment being still elevated and it being a tough job market for so many people right now.
So, but it seems, though, in the past, in the recent past, that the Congress has come up with solutions. Last year, the Democrats won a continuation of benefits through the so-called fiscal cliff deal. And in 2011, Congress reauthorized benefits to the payroll tax cuts that were expiring. And the year before that, they attached the benefits to an extension of the Bush-era tax cuts for the rich. So what's changed this year? Their hearts have hardened?
It seems that, you know, because this downturn has dragged on for so long and our recovery has been so weak, I think that people are just getting fatigued at the issue, but missing the point of the people who are actually out there looking for work. Lots of record long-term unemployment in this recession. So workers looking for work for 6 months or more, a year or more. And so those workers are fatigued as well, but Congress shouldn't forget those workers when they look at this program at the end of the year.
So what's your reading, though, on where things stand in the Congress? I mean, I take it, first of all, the reality of the Congress is that it's controlled by the Republicans, and the Tea Party caucus is fairly hostile to the poor, and it's no secret about that, and they just threatened they've succeeded in shutting down the government and threatened to tank the economy. I don't think you can do business with them. Is there enough votes, or who's the champion? Who's going to carry this case, before the Congress, and to try and shame them into doing the right thing? Because at the end of the day, this is chump change, really. You know, they say the deficit's a big problem, but what are we talking about here in terms of money? It's nothing compared to, say, buying one expensive F-35 fighter,
Well, you're exactly right. But benefits have already been cut back significantly already due to the improving economy and also due to cuts that Congress made to the program in previous reauthorizations. So they've cut the weeks down substantially, and lots of states are no longer receiving the benefits because their unemployment rates have fallen. But we do see that there are lots of workers who the unemployment rate has fallen because lots of workers have actually dropped out of the labor force and stopped looking. And so we're hoping that Congress will take this as an opportunity to do the right thing and not react in the ways that they have with the shutdown and the food stamp program. and to go ahead and do the right thing and to think of all of these hardworking Americans and their families who are depending on this program. And this program is really vital to keeping families out of poverty, and it has an effect not just for those people that are receiving the benefits, but for their entire family, including their children's well-being. So it's just a huge effect, and we're going to be working with our partners in Congress and hoping that we can make the case that these benefits are vital, and this is an opportunity for Congress to do the right thing and to not get stuck and to go ahead and do what they were sent to Congress to do.
And again, I'm speaking with Rebecca Dixon, who's a policy analyst with the National Employment Law Project. Her work includes research, analysis, and advocacy in support of state and federal unemployment insurance reform. And she previously worked as a policy analyst for the Mississippi Economic Policy Center. She is the author of the National Employment Law Project's new report titled State Unemployment Systems in State of Disrepair. So let's turn to that subject, and because here in the state of California, there's some hearings that are about to take place in the Capitol over this new software that crashed, and I must say it sounds a bit like healthcare.gov in terms of these contractors that seem to screw up. But I don't know the details, and I'm sure you'll fill us in here. But my understanding is that this chronic federal underfunding of the state's unemployment programs, which are burdened by extensive backlogs and outdated and unreliable systems, and here in the state of California alone, these problems have delayed payments on 300,000 claims. So we just got through talking about how the unemployed are going to be cut from the rolls, but those that are receiving benefits aren't receiving them because of, screwed up computer systems. So walk us through. We'll start with the state of California because I know this is a nationwide problem.
Okay, sure. So the state of California's issue is a bit different necessarily from the other states that we talked about in the report, because it seems that a lot of the states don't have the funds to actually redo their computer system. And so in this case, California was able to redo their computer system, but there were lots of problems with it. And from what I've found out, they knew that there were problems with the system, but they launched it anyway. And so there was this huge backlog where people were not able to get their claims. And the way that that's somewhat different from other states is that a lot of the other states actually are operating systems from the 70s or 80s, and so they don't even have a new system. And so we have two problems. We have a problem where states can update their technology, and when they do, they're not able to have the funds to test it properly or to run both systems until they can work out all the kinks, or they just don't have the sort of expertise to be able to make sure that it runs smoothly. And so the California hearing today explored some of those issues, specifically to California. But for other states, it's really this long-term underfunding of their system where their funding doesn't include money to regularly update their technology. And and I know that when you get a new computer, our computers are outdated, our home computers are outdated within a few years. So imagine trying to pay benefits with a system from the 70s or 80s. And so states are trying as hard as they can, but we're asking them to do it often with their hands tied behind their back, one hand tied behind their back.
And that's because the federal government is what's happening? Is there money being promised? Is it in the pipeline, or is it just simply not being appropriated?
Well, we have a sort of a historic underinvestment where the funds that they get have not been adjusted for inflation, and there's no money in there for infrastructure upgrades like technology. So no money for capital investments. And so they have these systems, but there's no money in the formula that they get that's there dedicated just to making sure that these systems stay up to date. And so states have been trying to cobble things together as best they can. In some cases, they have put new software and platforms on the front side of these old legacy systems. So you have new technology on the front end, but it's being run by a system that's still being programmed in COBOL. And so, as you can imagine, that just leaves them vulnerable to all kinds of things going wrong when there's any pressure applied to the system, like with the recession, or even we've seen in natural disasters, we've seen that kind of pressure to the system cause lots of problems. And workers are bearing the brunt of this. The Social Security Act gives Congress the responsibility, the Department of Labor, the federal government, to give states the money that they need for the proper and efficient administration of UI programs. And so some states are able to put in their own money, but that's not how the program was designed. And, you know, in a recession, states are cutting, you know, funds for education, and they're cutting public safety and teachers and firefighters. And so they don't have money to add to this system to augment it. And so we've seen just these problems, especially in states where unemployment has remained elevated throughout the recession and recovery.
And again, I'm speaking with Rebecca Dixon, the policy analyst with the National Employment Law Project. She is the author of the National Employment Law Project's new report titled State Unemployment Systems in State of Disrepair. So I don't know where the state of California got its $110 million to upgrade its employment development department and with software that's crashed. So again, like healthcare.gov. So do you know where they got it from and why they're having so problem? I guess the real problems is interfacing the new software with the old claim data, right? Is that what's going on?
Right. So they've gotten the funds from the federal government. So states are able to sometimes, you know, save a little money year after year after year. And these systems are very complex. They can take up to 5 years to develop. So from the time that they engage a contractor to create a new system for them, it may be 5 years before the system goes live. And so you can see it's a very huge undertaking. And so if the state is not monitoring the contractor's work and making sure that they're getting their deliverables on time and making sure that it's tested properly, then you can see how things can go wrong.
So tell us about some of the other states then, because I understand that also in California, the phone system is not working. And I don't know exactly how the phones relate to it. I think it's my understanding is that people on unemployment benefits get something like a credit card, do they not? But because their claims aren't being paid, they're calling in and the phone systems isn't working. Is that just an extra glitch?
Well, it is actually an extra glitch. And part of that being driven by technology problems, part of it's being driven by the fact that they, you know, according to the state, they don't have the money. So when unemployment falls nationwide, then the funding that they get for administration that all states get starts to fall as well. So if you're, but the funding is falling much faster than the claims that are falling. And so what happens is states have to figure out how do we deal with this money that we're losing or we're going to lose. And they often lay off staff. And so in California, they've laid off lots of their staff and their call center staff and their staff that processes claims. And so if there's no one there in the chair to answer the phone, then the call can't go through. And there's lots of reasons why workers actually call in, Ian, about their claims. Unemployment insurance is a very complex program. There's lots of rules, and so workers have to file claims each week. They have to certify that they've been looking for work, that they didn't earn any money that week. And so there's often questions that workers have about their claim, and it's important to get those questions answered and to fill out the forms correctly. That prevents overpayments of benefits or underpayments of benefits. And so workers have a timeline in which they have to get the claim put in. If you miss that timeline, you either lose that week of benefits or it's a very difficult process to then go back in and put it in. And so workers need this money. I mean, they're desperate for it. They need it to get to work. They need, you know, to get to job interviews, to have gas in their vehicles, to go on interviews and to, you know, keep their families afloat while they're searching for work. And so you can see why they're calling. And if they can't get through, they're just thinking, you know, if I just keep calling. And so this is wasted time for the states. and wasted time for workers who could be using this time to search for work, but instead are desperately trying to get the benefits that they need.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes, Rebecca Dixon, tell us about the states that have 1970s equipment and how they're obviously even worse off than California.
Well, the way it's been described to me as you could call it a web of different technology. So, for example, a few years back, Florida had 15 different platforms and softwares attached to their benefit system. And so you can understand that when you have to ramp up, if there's pressure on the system, like with the recession, or if there's a huge layoff in one business and there's a big push where you have to process lots of claims, all of those pieces have to be ramped up. They have to be you have to synchronize ramping those up. And so you can see that there's so many opportunities for things to go wrong. And so states are seeing this happen. Other states are also having issues with phones or have had issues with phones in the last year. A lot of it's driven by the layoffs of staff, the same issues with call centers not being able to get through. And in Pennsylvania last year, they have in their offices, you can go into the center where you can search for a job, and there's a phone that goes directly to the call center. And so people were so desperate, they would go early in the morning at 6 a.m. before it even opens, and there'd be a line, and people would be there just to use the phone all day because they needed to get through, and that phone worked, but they couldn't get through from home. So it's just, you can see that in states where the unemployment rate is still elevated, that seems to be where we're having the most problems right now.
Well, Rebecca Dixon, I thank you so much for joining us and filling us in on this. It's very important, and it's going under the radar, and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Again, I've been speaking with Rebecca Dixon, a policy analyst with the National Employment Law Project. Her work includes research, analysis, and advocacy in support of state and federal unemployment insurance reform, and she previously worked as a policy analyst for the Mississippi Economic Policy Center. She is the author of the National Employment Law Project's new report titled State Unemployment Systems in State of Disrepair. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about oral arguments in the Supreme Court over the prayer issue.
Just waiting for bread. Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?